We had looked at the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had promised would come, and that we would be baptized, as it says at the end of verse 5, with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. So the word baptized we looked at means to be immersed into. He said, John baptized you, you were immersed into water, and now you shall be immersed into the person of the Holy Spirit, which gives you the power. There is no power to be a Christian aside from this. There are actually thousands and tens of thousands of churches in America where there are good people going to church, but they know about him, but they don't know him. And it's this baptism of the Holy Spirit that just takes your heart and puts you on fire, that you are a walking testimony for Jesus. It's just not part of your life. It is your life that you're walking in him. So he's promising this not many days later. So it says, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. And then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey, which means a Sabbath day's journey is 1 mile. And you'll all remember that Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount told us how to live our lives. And one of the things he said, that if you are asked to walk a mile, well, go with that person and walk 2 miles. You're only allowed to walk a mile on the Sabbath day. But Jesus is saying, if a Roman soldier comes up to you and says, carry my backpack or my weapons, and he's going to go 2 or 3 miles, do not be afraid of the law. Go that 2 or 3 miles. And what he's saying is, for us, is that we should always be open to go beyond what is expected of us. God's children go beyond what is expected of the normal person. The average person would respond with some compassion, but we are given the freedom that legalism, religious legalism, I'm not saying go break laws, I'm talking about in the spiritual realm, legalism, spiritual legalism, does not hold you back. Love covers a multitude of sin. So Jesus said this knowing that his disciples would go out all over the known world at that time and preach the gospel. And that meant they had the freedom on, quote unquote, the Sabbath day as Jewish preachers to go beyond what the law said that they could do. So he said, go that extra mile. If someone asks you for your shirt, give them your coat also. Go beyond what is expected of you. And I assume in a crowd of this size, there are situations that you'll face tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday at work where you'll stop and say, wow, this is where this fits. Everybody else has left. I will stay. I'll clean up this mess. I'll organize that desk. I'll whatever. You go beyond what is expected of you. And that's a great freedom and liberty we have. So they went a mile. Those of you that went on the trip a couple months ago to Jerusalem, you were on the Mount of Olives, and that's where you looked back at Jerusalem. And from there, you walked down. You saw the Temple Mount. You walked down into the Garden of Gethsemane, and you went from there up the walk into Jerusalem. So you can see all of the old city from the Mount of Olives. Interesting thing about Mount of Olives, around 1969, 68, 70, I believe it was Chevron Oil, had discovered in their search for oil and gas that there was an earthquake fault running through the Mount of Olives underneath, of course. Nobody had really ever known that before. Now it's pretty much known. Now that is the place that we're reading about, that Jesus ascended up into heaven. These two men in white apparel are described in the same manner as the angels that were at the garden tomb. And they're looking here, and they have information from another dimension, from heaven, for these men. So it couldn't be earthly men, and it couldn't be Old Testament prophets that resurrected from the dead. We have no story of that. But very likely they were that. They were angels. They knew things that they could tell people on earth. And they said, why are you standing there gazing? Otherwise, get about your work. What do you have to do today? Because this same Jesus, and that's very important because there are many Jesuses. There are many Jesus all over town. But this one, and Paul tells us that there are many false Christs. But this one, and they are very specific, he's going to return in the like manner. So when he had spoken these things, they watched. He was taken up. They looked steadfastly. They were just gazing locked in toward heaven as he went up. That would have been an amazing thing to see, don't you think? Who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. And then they returned. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room. This more than likely is the same upper room that Jesus had left when he was arrested and taken to the cross. The upper room that he had asked them to tell the owner of it that he needed to use their real estate to perform the communion Passover service, but also to empower his men with things they didn't know before. And it was so stimulating that when he said, one of you is going to betray me, all around that table, everyone said, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Showing us that communion has a very powerful introspection in our hearts. We all have the ability to deny Jesus and to step away from him. And we should always ask that question, Lord, please make me a true worshiper, true follower. It is frightening to think that Jesus said, some of you will come and knock on the door and say, Lord, Lord, let me in. And I will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I knew you not. That's very frightening because in the perception of those that are coming to get into the marriage feast, they belong there. But in his perception, he never knew them. So it's very important for us to understand Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Son of Man, Jesus Son of God. Jesus is not a religion. He is a person. He's a person. And he is recorded having died and resurrected from the dead. And here we see that angels come and say, don't worry about that. This same Jesus that just went up off the planet, and they watched him going into the sky, he's going to come back in the same way. He was received by a cloud. It says in the book of Hebrews, what a great crowd of witnesses we have. And that's going to be so great. Have you ever thought about this? Jesus said, if one sinner comes to repentance, the angels of heaven rejoice. So it's party time in heaven every time somebody comes to receive Jesus and to confess their sins. A great cloud of witnesses. Have you ever thought that in a moment, in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, you're going to leave your body? It could be called an automobile accident on Freeway 15, or somebody knocked you down and you fell and hit your head. It could be called death in any way, but you're not going to be there in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And all of a sudden, you're going to have a great crowd of witnesses. You're going to see your parents, your grandparents, your children, your neighbors, your friends, and they're going to be applauding and they're going to be happy to see you too. I don't know if there's like an Ellis Island of heaven where we all come as immigrants, you know, from planet Earth, and we have to go check in and sign in the big book and have our fingerprints. Yeah, that's the right one. You're the wrong Mike McIntosh. Get out of here. Sorry. I know you meant well. It's going to be an exciting day. And that day is coming soon. the Lord is ready to return. So they continued, it says, they went into this upper room. And when they went into that upper room, they were men, Jewish men, under law. When they come back to that room, they are Jewish men under awe. They've just watched Jesus not just walk around for 40 days and talk to him. They just watched him do the coolest thing that man has ever done, to lift up into the air and see you later. And he had power to do that. He had power, as we looked at the week before last, to come into the room after his resurrection and say to Thomas, where we get the term doubting Thomas, said, I won't believe till I can put my finger in his hands or in the side of his body where the spear went in. And Jesus just appeared and then repeated the words that Thomas had said earlier. So Jesus is able to understand, record everything we're talking about, looking at, acting out. Now he does this great thing. They saw him walk on water. They saw him break bread and feed tens of thousands of people. They saw him raise people from the dead, heal the blind, cleanse the leper. He did so many miracles, but what would you do if all of a sudden the person next to you just started going, and they go out the door? And that was weird. And then we go back to our life and live our life. He's just so powerful, we just take it as a religious story, but he's a person. And I've seen him shine like those videos in the times when men's hearts fail them, and he is there to love them. So they go back to this room. They're very articulate. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the name of the son of James. How would you like to be known as Betty the Zealot or George the Zealot? He was a political activist, and his heart is going to be shaped as one of these getting closer to Jesus. These all continue with one accord, and that's not a Honda. They weren't built then. It's just one accord. They're together. They're in the same mind. They're headed the same direction. They believe the same thing. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. This is what the early first Christians did. They prayed, supplication. They poured their hearts out. And with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So again, there's another verse here that we see that Mary had other sons, and we know also daughters, as we saw in the Gospel of Mark. Your brothers and sister and your mother are outside, and Jesus said, who's my mother or my brothers or my sisters? And he looked around and said, those that follow the kingdom. So here we see that Mary is not exalted or venerated. She is just one of these people. She happens to be there with her sons. And the key that is so positive is that she was there and with the quote-unquote women that believed and followed the Lord Jesus. In fact, it says in Mark that the women that followed gave of their sustenance, and that the women were the ones that helped finance the ministry to roam around Galilee and down to Judea. It doesn't mention men being that help, but women pick up on the needs of Jesus and his ministers. So Mary and these women is highly unusual for them to be in the same place at the same time as men. Even today, when you go to Jerusalem and you go to the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, where you see these people praying and they're writing notes to God, to the Messiah, when he returns that he would read them all, and they stick them in between these 100-ton blocks. The women, even today, have a fence that goes and splits the area where the men are. The men, if it were 100 feet wide, which is much more than that, just for an example, the men have 75 feet and the women get about 25 feet. There's still this misrepresentation of how God looks at women in the Judaism. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, which the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of the names was about 120. So now he started with those 12, and he's got a 10-time return that 120 are considered disciples. Not mentored ones, discipled ones. There's a difference. Jesus discipled them, brought them to God, and kept them close to God. And altogether, about 120, with the names, number of names, was about 120. So I don't know if they made a list and said, okay, give me your name before you start praying. But they all knew each other, is what it tells me. It was really a picture of the first gathering of the church. And from the 12 to 120, a billion or two over the centuries claimed to have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before the mouth, by the mouth of David, concerning Judas. So David prophesied, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. You'll remember Jesus leaned over to Judas in that upper room where they are now praying. And he said, go, do what you have to do. And Judas slipped out. And this is after he said, there's one among you who's going to betray me. And he slipped out and he went and he thought he was doing a good deal. He got 30 pieces of silver and he told them where Jesus would be. And you'll remember that he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as he was there, in comes Judas, who had told them, the officers had said, well, you go in to the garden. We don't want to arrest the wrong person. Give a kiss on the cheek to the guy that is this one we want to arrest. So he comes walking right up to Jesus, and Jesus, his heart broke for Judas, because Judas had every opportunity. We all have friends and family who have every opportunity. And even more so if you pour your heart out towards them. And you're not responsible if they do not turn to God. All we can do is be a witness that they can never stand before God's beautiful throne and say, well, I never knew. Well, your mother could be standing right there who prayed for you for 40 years. Your friends could be there that always invited you to church, but you had to surf. God will be a righteous God in the eyes of every person that stands before the judgment seat of Christ. Excuse me, the white throne judgment. And the reason being is that his love is so powerful that he has blocked every hole that you could escape from in a way and put somebody there. The further you get away from him, there's still going to be somebody there that is witnessing. And Jesus saw him coming to him. And he said, who is it that you're looking for? Who is it? And he said, I am. And those were the words, of course, that were at the burning bush when God told Moses, you go to Egypt and you tell them, I am that I am has sent you. And that was it. They all fell backwards, 200 military men. At that point, if I was a military man, that a man could speak just two words and knock me over, I'd say, well, we always wanted to know who you were. Have a nice day, sir. Go on. I mean, he could do, you know, he said, I could call a legion. As Peter pulled out his sword, Peter, put your sword away. I could call a legion of soldiers right now, angels that could come from heaven. That's a lot of angels. And we know in the Old Testament that the Assyrians were against Israel. And Elisha was saying to, Elijah's assistant was saying to him, what are we going to do here? And he said, what do you mean? God opened his eyes that he could see. And all around the valley were angels with their swords pulled out, that they were there to protect them. Now it is interesting that one man sees them and the other man does not see them. You want to be the person that sees heaven working in San Diego. You may be the only person representing heaven in your little corner of the world, but you want to see that. You want to know that God is at work. And because he's at work, wonderful things are going to happen. Men, brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David, concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity. The wages of iniquity. Wow. We know that he went back and he said, hey, I'm sorry that I did this. And they said, it's too late for that. You already took the payment. And he threw the money down. And they went out and bought the potter's field. So the wages of iniquity, that's a study unto itself. People can actually make money in a crooked way or in an evil way or a wicked way and then profit by it. And good people, all throughout the Psalms, David takes this issue. And I think as he grew up as a shepherd's son, the poorest of the poor, and worked his way up, that he saw and learned of the different levels of life and how that money seemed to be the common denominator. The more he had, the higher he went, until he became the king. And this is one thing I love about David. Yes, he was a womanizer. I don't love that about him, nor did God. And God dealt severely with David. The sword stayed in his house even after he died. He just blew it there. He was a great military man, fearless, standing for righteousness. How dare this uncircumcised Philistine defy the armies of the living God when the king at that time, Saul, was hiding in his tent? And then he was embarrassed as well. You want to go out and fight him? Take my helmet and my breastplate. And here comes this scrawny little teenager out, and he's weighted down by it, 100 pounds worth of gear. And he says, you know, this isn't me. May I use that as a point of encouragement to all of you? This isn't me. This isn't the real me. That you stop and recognize this isn't you. It could be something that's not good for you, or a person that's not good for you. It could be actions that are not good for you. But it could just be you've crossed a line where you are known as a good girl, and all of a sudden, a party girl. You're a man that could always be trusted, and then all of a sudden, you're found pilfering stuff at work. Or, the hardest one, is you're trying to please people. And you need to be honest with yourself. This isn't me. This is not me. I'm sorry, I just, my heart isn't in this, and I just have to be honest. I love you, people, but this isn't me. This is making me be a hypocrite. And just be honest. You might not even have to tell those people, but tell yourself, because you know it's not you. And you can extrapolate that out into a million different things. Does it make any sense? Especially the trying to please people. And you cannot please everyone at all. So if you're trying to do that, just be honest and say, this isn't me. You know, I really want to go along with everybody else, but I just can't this year. I can't do that this year or be there this year. This isn't me. So when Peter gets arrested and it's all prophesied, this is what Jesus, this is what he's talking about. He's given the whole history that was already in the Old Testament that this would take place. And it says that what he did when he knew he is wrong, and then the priest would not accept the 30 pieces back, that he killed himself, he committed suicide. It says that he purchased a field with wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all of his stomach, his guts, his entrails gushed out. So this was a horrible death, to say the least, in the physical. God knows the hour, the minute, the microsecond of when our time is up here on earth. I don't want to be doing works so that I get there and say, well, you got to take me in. I don't want to be one of those people that he says, I want to get there. But he and I have an understanding and agreement. I've given my life to him. And I want to help as many and do as much as possible before that last microsecond comes. Not fearing that microsecond, for we all meet that day. And when you get there, if we hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," how sweet it is. So I want to encourage you. Keep looking up. Angels are around us. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for you may entertain angels unaware. But keep looking up. Don't be down in the dumps. Don't be depressed. And so, you have an assignment. If you fulfill your assignment or not, it's up to you. If you want to get an A or an F or a withdrawal, it's up to you. We reap what we sow. And if we sow to the flesh, we shall reap of the flesh. If we sow to the Spirit, we shall reap from the Spirit. Nevertheless, duck it, hide from it, take shortcuts, try to get around it. The cross is always before us. And that always reminds us that a price was paid, not just for your body to feel good, or not that you're going to be rich because you believe now, or that everything's going to be rosy, but we're talking eternity. That's what we're talking. So to just give a couple of years or 50 years of your life to the Lord is nothing. I encourage you. Be honest with yourself and say, "This isn't me. I'm so stressed when I get around those people. Just whatever it applies, this isn't me." Be honest. And just lay it before the Lord and he'll already speak to their hearts. The second is, be, as it says here, gazing, which is intently staring. Be looking up, for his redemption draws nigh. It's clear. All you have to do is just start reading the newspaper with your Bible out there, and six Russian warships are off the coast of Syria at the port. Some are saying that they're there, that if the president can get out of the palace and make it there, they'll give him safe haven in Russia. Then that changes. If he leaves that palace, he'll be killed and executed by his top-ranking generals because they know they're going to be killed and executed like all the other leaders of the Arab world in the last 12 months in these changes of power. So they're trapped. But when have we ever had six Russian warships plus the crack Russian SEAL team guys, different name, different title, but that well trained, in Syria, training people. So now they're in Syria, on that side of Israel, and the Russians are on the other side of Israel, at the Mediterranean, the east and west, and they're in Lebanon. Now they've got northern, eastern, and western. Ladies and gentlemen, this is exactly what the Bible said through Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39. And something would change the world power overnight, that Russia would feel freedom to attack Israel. They've got the setup. They're sending the weapons to Iran. They're sending them to Hezbollah. They've surrounded Israel. And if something happened to the only major ally besides Britain, basically, to America, that's when Russia would say, "Let's go. We have offended God." That's why I'm forgetting the things behind, pressing forward to that mark in high calling in Jesus Christ, running like the wind, getting across that finish line with as many people as I can bring with me. I'm only one man, and that's why I'm standing in front of you. I'm not a religious man. It's that I've got a heart to get as many people fired up for him so that their friends can make it too. Because evacuation planet Earth is about ready to take place. For the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven, just like this angel said. What are you looking there for? This same Jesus is going to come back in the same way. There will be the shout of the archangel and the sound of the trumpet. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. You and I that remain shall be caught up in the air, in the clouds, forever to be with him. Jesus is coming. Keep looking up and be honest with yourself this year. Shall we stand? Shall we pray? We reverently bow our hearts before you, God. We're so grateful that as there was some commotion and some doubt of what was going on as the ascension of Jesus, that these men and women went home and they prayed together. We thank you, Lord, that you show us the truth of the matter, that Peter wasn't a pope. He was one of the elders. We thank you, God, that Mary was not venerated. She was recognized as the mother of Jesus and his brothers. We thank you, Lord, that you keep the focus on Jesus. And somehow our focus slips. Somehow we forget to walk humbly before you. Somehow, Lord, the drone of life on planet Earth, it just keeps grinding on us. And the sweet worship of heaven gets blocked out. Help us to be spiritual men and women in this brand new year. Help us to be men and women that are gazing up, intently staring. People wondering why we're like we are. We would have an answer for everyone because of the hope that lies within us, Lord. That as we're looking up and people question why would we even think he would come back, you were so accurate in saying this same Jesus, not a Mayan calendar, not some goofy preacher, but this same Jesus, the one we love, the one that died on the cross, the one that tried to communicate how to live. And most of Christianity doesn't live that way. Oh, Father God, we beg you to forgive us of our sins this very moment, that you would come to our hearts and our souls. You have told us that if we confess them, that you will forgive them. And so in this quiet, reverent moment before your throne, we humble our hearts before you quietly amongst hundreds of others. And we honestly say, forgive me of my sins. I've been hypocritical with myself. Forgive me, Lord, of my trespasses. Lord, forgive me for not giving you all of my heart. Father, you have warned us there will be many Judas in the church in the last days. There will be many false prophets and many false ministers. And none of us want to get to heaven and have you say, depart from me. I never knew you. Oh, Lord God, may your power from heaven come upon us right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. And if this morning you have admitted to yourself that you've been hypocritical and the pressure's too much, you want to confess it to yourself and to God, he'll straighten it out. Do so right this moment. If it's been ages since you've lifted your head up, looking for Jesus, admit it to yourself and to God. He'll forgive you. He'll also empower you so there'll never be a question in your life again. So, if you today, standing here open before heaven, want to confess that, I would like to ask anyone here that you would just walk out of the aisles where you are and come to the front of this platform. Difficult thing to do, but it's the thing that's going to release you. You're just going to feel it. It's no longer you trying to impress or be somebody or be embarrassed or not. It's you and God. So as we worship in this song, I'm asking you, please, say yes to the Holy Spirit that is here. Say yes to Jesus who died and raised from the dead according to biblical prophecy. As Peter speaks, he's speaking out words from hundreds of years prior to them meeting in that upper room. Bless right now, Father, and release your Spirit on those that have been bound up and have missed you and today wish to give their lives totally to you. In the name of your beautiful Son, Jesus.